Welcome to GeoTalk, the podcast for geocaches down under.
In this edition of GeoTalk, we speak to Regina from Brisbane. We find out about some events on the south coast of New South Wales and in the ACT. I go abseiling down a cliff just to find a cache. And we got a bit of a surprise at the very end of the podcast. All this and more on GeoTalk. Well, welcome to the seventh episode of GeoTalk. And if you haven't already felt it, we're pretty much well in the midst of summer now with high temperatures around most of the country, although up in the far north there seems to be a lot of rain, and in some areas such as Cairns, The drought seems to be broken, and if predictions are correct over the rest of the country, we might actually see some normal rain sometime this year. So fingers crossed for that. Some of the highlights for me over the last 2 weeks, one of them right up at the top was going to Dubbo for the weekend and meeting up with the Bronze and the Prez and a couple of other geocaches from up around western New South Wales. We had a magical night sitting up in what we thought was a crater, but there may be an update on that as to exactly what the landform was out there. But during the night we watched Comet McNaught up in the sky, and it was just beautiful, crisp, clean skies, and really makes you realise that when you live in a populated area such as Sydney or Melbourne or Brisbane or some of the other capital cities, you miss out on those magnificent displays. But anyway, we saw some great views, and I chatted with the Prez, and that interview will be coming up in a future episode of GeoTalk. While I was also up there, did a few caches and also caught up with the zoo up there. It's a great zoo. If you're ever in Dubbo, don't forget not just to do the geocaches, but check out the Western Plains Zoo, which is up in the area there. And then a couple of days later, I flew up to Brisbane and caught up with some Brisbane geocaches. And hi to everyone up there, particularly those that I met, Astro Boy, Regina, and Just a Trifle. It was great to catch up and have dinner with them. And you'll hear an interview later in this podcast with Regina from the Brisbane region. Also, during the week, I went abseiling down a cliff to find a cache, and a big thank you to WebGuy and Wingnut for organising that. It was a lot of fun, and if you haven't already downloaded or checked the video podcast, we did took a bit of video on that trip and compiled it together in a 3.5 minute podcast, so you can download that if you're already subscribed to iTunes or some other feed, and check that out, and there'll be more of those in the future. And I'm still trying to put that podcache together, the podcache that's in Sydney Olympic Park, so forgive me if I haven't done it. I tried re-recording it the other day, but it was quite windy, so I'm going to have to re-record all the commentary for a third time, but hopefully we'll get that in time for the next podcast. Well, before we get into Geocacher Profile, it's time for the quiz. And the quiz question's a fairly simple one, although it might surprise you with some of the answers. In 2006, who found the most geocaches? Now, I'm going to give it to you state by state, so have a think about who did the most geocaching in your state during the year 2006. I'll give you the answer at the end of the podcast. Okay, I'm sitting by the Brisbane River on a beautiful balmy summer's evening with one of Brisbane's probably most famous caches. In fact, one of the most famous geocaches in Australia at the moment. He holds the record for the most finds in a day. I'm joined by Regina. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
So, Paul, how did you get into geocaching?
I first saw an article in Australian Personal Computer magazine in, would be 2001, I believe. Would have been about October. I signed up in November of that year on the geocaching site, and found my first cache on the 1st of January 2002.
So you've been doing it for quite a while, but you mentioned to me earlier that your total finds aren't really as high as some of the others around the country.
No, that's right, because caching is not my primary activity. I'm very active in orienteering and roganing, which is where I get my name from, funnily enough. Roganing, for those who don't know, is a mixture between orienteering and bushwalking, and a traditional Rogaine will go for 24 hours duration.
So the Rogaining element of, you know, working for 24 hours, is this how it led to you going for the record attempt last year?
Yes, it certainly did. I saw Axe 2 Youth Group record 77 finds in, I think it was late 2005, and I I started to think with, in my mind, I thought, well, in 24 hours, I believe I could get 100 fines. So I started to formulate some plans in my mind and found a partner in DTE, and the rest is history, as they say.
So how much planning went into finding that many caches in a day?
There was several weeks. We spent many nights at my house poring over maps and reading the cache logs and vetting and planning routes and so forth. So, yeah, quite a lot of planning.
Do you know offhand how many kilometres you would have travelled in that day?
From memory, there was just under 200 kilometres, predominantly on the north side of Brisbane. We did pop over to the bay side later on in the evening to complete our day.
Now, in total, it was 102, is that correct?
That's correct. We had 10 no fines as well, so we actually went to 112 unique cache locations.
So what was the motivation? Was it just to prove to yourself or to others that you could do it?
No, just to myself. I wanted to see if I could crack the three figures, as it were, and I'm very pleased that I was able to achieve that.
So if someone else around the country was to crack it, would that be motivation to do it again?
Oh, probably not in a hurry. I mean, I may. I mean, there's an awful lot of planning, and you have to get everything worked out, family arrangements, other social engagements, and also your partner's calendar has to match up. So there's a lot of things that go into it. So
on that topic, do your family go geocaching with you?
No, my wife is, she tolerates me doing it, but I will take my daughter out occasionally if there's some park caches close to home. And she's only six, she likes to look through the trinkets and swap things.
So what's been the highlight of geocaching over the last 5 or 6 years that you've been doing it?
Just getting out and about. I mean, I've always enjoyed the outdoors. I've been bushwalking for a very long time, and with caching, it's an excuse to get outside, get some fresh air. And I particularly like the caches that involve some bushwalking. Earlier in the year, I did an eight-hour walk just to find one on the main range here in Brisbane.
Is there anything about geocaches up here, the actual cache boxes themselves, not the people, I'll get to those in a second, is there anything about the geocaches that in Brisbane that make them special?
I've not done a lot of caches interstate, so I'm not really qualified to perhaps comment on that, but in my record attempt, I did notice a lot of micros, which, you know, some people may not like, but the whole point is getting you to that particular location. So, you know, the size of the container perhaps doesn't bear a whole lot of weight on whether I'll go to a location or not. It's just getting me out there is the main point.
Brisbane seems to have a bit of a reputation for having a very friendly group of geocaches. In fact, I only had to post a note the night before and already I'm joined by three different teams. What is it that you think that makes Brisbane geocaches so friendly?
Oh, it's hard to put a finger on that, really. I'm not quite sure what makes us, I don't know.
Do you have a lot of events?
There are, there's perhaps three or four social events a year, ranging from Toowoomba to the Bayside. In fact, only 2 weeks ago we had one up on what's called the Noosa North Shore, which was attended by, I'm not quite sure, maybe 17 teams, and that was a lot of fun.
Do you think the geographical size of Brisbane being a little bit smaller than the other two capitals, Sydney and Melbourne, sort of helps that?
I think so. Yeah, potentially it would, I guess, because it's not as difficult to travel from one end of the city to the other, and that's a big advantage, I think. Yes.
What are you hoping to get out of geocaching over the next year or two?
The same as what I've been doing, just getting out and about, enjoying the find as well as the journey, and also meeting people like tonight. This is tremendous.
And if there was one thing that you were going to tell a southerner, someone from south of the Tweed, before they ventured up to Brisbane to do a bit of geocaching, what bit of advice would you give them?
Do it in the cooler months.
That's some advice I think I'll take on board. Thanks very much, Paul, for joining us.
No problem.
Well, I'm joined by Dave from the Rats down on the south coast of New South Wales in the lovely Wollongong area where the mighty, mighty mountains meet the mighty, mighty sea. How are you going?
Very good, mate. And you?
Pretty good. That's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? Now, you've got an event coming up at the end of the month in February. Tell us all about it.
I have. It's called the inaugural South Coast Get-Together. I've been caching for just on 5 years now, and so many new people have joined the sport since I started. That when I first started, a 25-kilometre radius, we did a handful of caches. 25-kilometre radius now, I can do nearly 50 or 60 caches. So I want to get out there and meet some people, and I think there's plenty of new people there that, you know, want to do the same. So that's the idea of having this event.
Excellent. Now, where is the event being held?
Down at Shell Harbour. There's a reserve down there called Black Butt Reserve, fairly central. I've got, you know, people from the north who will come, people from the far south coast who are going to come as well. So, yeah, just try to pick somewhere central.
Okay. And what should people bring along on the day?
But it's basically just a full-on picnic get together to meet people. So, you know, what you would have for your picnic and stuff like that, there's nothing out of the ordinary. I might put on the usual time trial type thing, but no, it's just a meet and greet, so just the picnic essentials.
Okay. Now, you mentioned you've got barbecue facilities, but you need to bring your own chair, that's correct?
Yeah, bring your own chair. The barbecues there are for free, so if people are that way inclined, yeah, bring some meats, slap it on the barbie.
Okay. And is it on the beach?
It's in view of the beach, put it that way. It's probably nearly a kilometre away from the beach on a small rise, and you've got a nice view over the beach there, so it should be pretty good.
Okay, so with any luck, if the weather's good, you could bring your togs for a swim afterwards.
Certainly, mate, certainly. Yeah. We could all head down there as a group, or it's even catered for if there's wet weather. There's a shelter there that we could all get under, I'm sure.
Excellent. Well, that sounds like good fun. That's on the 24th of February, so it's only about 3 weeks away. Thanks for talking to us, Dave.
Not a problem, mate. No, I look forward to seeing you there.
Will do. It looks like you've got a swag of travel bugs, by the way. Have you collected the whole countries?
Oh, I did a hit around Sydney a few weeks ago and picked up a couple, so I'm hoping a few more people will put some in there.
All right. I might attach myself to the one that's going to Brazil. Is that all right?
Sounds good.
All right. See you down there. Okay, I'm joined on the line by Susan from the S's down in the ACT. How are you going?
Good, how are you?
Oh, not too bad. Now, you've got an event that's a bit of an annual fixture down in Canberra happening in early March. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, we've got the annual ACT Cache of the Year. We hold it every year just to celebrate the best caches in the ACT. So it's going to be held on Sunday the 4th of March at 12:30 in Edison Park in Woden.
Okay, so that's roughly in the geographic centre of Canberra.
Yeah.
So there's no excuses for any Canberrans to get there. They don't have to travel too far.
No, it's right in the centre, so they can come from everywhere.
Okay. Now, I understand that the nominations for the ACT Cache of the Year are still open. Is that correct?
Yes, they're still open until the 7th of February at 6 o'clock. So they're still rolling in. We've got a few nominations, but to get a few more would be good.
Okay. And the categories that you've got for this year?
We have four categories this year. We've got Best Cache, which is basically just a combination of location, hide, contents, the most enjoyable cache that people do. Then we have Best Location, whether it be scenic, historic, different, just the location that makes it special. Our biggest one would be the most original cache, which is a cache that has something original, whether it be the name, the location, the hide, the contents, just something that makes it stand out from every other cache. And then last is the best photo, which people just put up photos that they've taken while they've been doing caching throughout the year, and everyone votes on what they think is the best photo that was taken.
Now, like yourself, you don't actually have to be from the ACT to make a nomination, is that correct?
No, there's only a couple of rules. Obviously, the cache has to have been laid during 2006 somewhere within the ACT. The only other rule would be that it has to be found by at least five caches.
So the event's on at the 4th of March down at Edison Park. Is there anything that people should bring along on the day?
Sense of adventure. There's barbecues provided, so if they want to bring something for some lunch, feel free, barbecue, drink. There are some chairs provided, but it'd probably be a good idea to bring some other chairs and basically just family and yourself.
And I understand that Sean's going to do a one-man performance of the HMS Pinafore, is that correct?
Yes, that's it.
But seriously, will there be any events on the day?
Yes, there will. We always have a game of some sort. At the moment, we're still in discussions of what that's going to be. We have had in the past time trials. There has been caches launched on the day. So there will be something, but at this stage it's still undecided.
Okay, well, so anyone in the Canberra region or heading down to the Canberra region at the start of March, head down there, check out the forum. I'll give you a link on the show notes. Thanks very much, Susan from the S's.
Thank you.
Well, those who know me know that I'm not that much of an adventurer. I mean, I don't climb up to the top of mountains in the Himalaya or kayak across the Tasman Sea. But when it comes to geocaching, sometimes I don't mind doing something that's more than just a drive-by. I mean, it is more than just about the numbers. So last week I was invited by WebGuy and Wingnut in the Sydney region to try out abseiling and find a geocache at the foothills of the Blue Mountains. Now the audio that you're going to hear over the next couple of minutes is taken straight from the video podcast, which is also part of the GeoTalk feed. So if you don't want to download the video, you can listen to this audio. Hopefully over the next few months or even a couple of years, who knows, we'll have a couple more videos. And in the next 4 weeks, we'll be heading out to a cache by the name of Daylight, which many in the Sydney region know about. So hopefully you'll get some joy out of that as well. Anyway, here we are looking for Beauty's Point.
G'day, Darren. Thanks for dropping in.
Thanks, Webguy. How you going?
Not too bad, mate.
This is pretty extreme. We're looking for a geocache and we're hanging off a cliff. What's the meaning of this?
Well, there's nowhere you'd really want to be at this time of the day, I've got to tell you. It's an absolutely gorgeous day. We're just hanging around, slacking off. And it's the sort of place we like to do caches. It's a lot more fun than just trying to find a micro in the city or a box behind a bush sort of thing.
Yeah.
And not many people do these sort of caches, but it's the sort we like.
Yeah, and the amazing thing is we're just on the outskirts of Sydney, so we're not in the middle of the bush, although we're at the foothills of the Blue Mountains. And how high is this drop?
I'd say this drop here would be somewhere in the order of 10 to 15 metres. And down below there we've got Wingnut, acting as belay for you. So I'm swinging around here, something shocking. Oh, 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 oh. So we thought we'd invite Darren out to do some of the adventure caches that are around, and we've got some interesting things in store for him. And try and break him out of the rut he's in with his caching.
Right. Well, we might get to the bottom and see if we can find this one.
I think it's time we went and found a cache.
All right, coming down.
As you can see, it's an absolutely gorgeous location. I mean, why would you just want to be content with finding caches that are hidden in the city when you've got something as brilliant as this? Well, after doing the deadly drop, Darren found the cache that quite a few people have not been able to find recently. He's even cracked the combination.
And normally it's the end of the journey that makes the journey special, but I think in this particular case it was getting here. Plus it's a little bit of a difficult part. The height is quite difficult. I wouldn't just scout around and give up straight away. You've got to do a bit of searching. And then the last thing you've got to do, once I get this open, you've got to get the padlock off. I won't say too much more on that about that. So here we go, we've got the cache. Thanks very much to WebGuy and Wingnut for giving me a hand. And crikey, we found the cache.
And this is a real cache, it's an ammo box.
A Rolls Royce of geocaches.
And we'll catch you guys next time we do an adventure cache.
Okay, now it's time for the GeoTalk quiz. Now, the question, in case you forgot it at the start, was who's found the most geocaches in 2006? Now, I'm going to break it up state by state, so you might know who it was in your state. In the Northern Territory, Rob Mack found 34 caches. In the ACT, McFan totaled 166 finds. In the Western Australia was Arlogan, I hope I pronounced that correctly, with 281 caches. In New South Wales, Keener Pip Doubt Web Guy with 360 caches. In Tasmania, Sirius Tag found 390 caches. In South Australia, Team Hurtle came third with 591 caches. In Victoria, the biggest geocacher down there was Alan C. with 789 caches. And just beating them at the pass from Queensland was IF with 811 caches. Now, those stats are according to the Geocaching Australia website. If you think you've missed out on a few caches there, go to the website at www.geocaching.com.au and you might have to import some of your caches, and you can check out the wiki while you're there to find out what to do. And now it's time to go into the GeoTalk mailbag. And first of all, we got Eric De Meyer, also known as Rovete from Belgium, who says hi and lets us know that we've got a couple of listeners over there in Belgium in Europe. That's great to hear. Hopefully you find some of the content useful. And if you're ever heading down to Australia, be sure to let us know and maybe check out the forums at geocaching.com.au. And I'm sure you'll have a few friends who'll help you out when you're down under. And also, I got an email in the last 2 weeks from Toolkit, also known as Franz, who says hi. Most people will know Toolkit, who's been away now for about 3 years. And he says in his email, first of all, that he wants to compliment the creativity of Aussie geocaches. He says the geocaches down here have a greater variety and a lot more special because the owner usually puts a lot more time and effort into them, particularly the challenging multi-caches. He only wishes that London geocaches had half the ingenuity of the Sydney urban geocaches. Second of all, he says, I envy you for the weather. Having said that, the British weather isn't as bad as I imagined, especially in summer when it actually gets pretty hot. He says that if anyone's seen the movie Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or The Vicar of Dibley, the village and windmill where that's recorded is just around the corner from where he is, and there's a lot of caches and nice walks in the area. Another thing he does miss are the wilderness caches, but mentions that when they get up to Scotland, there's heaps of great caches in the middle of the great outdoors there with unbelievable scenery. One thing he does suggest that geocaching in the UK could do with is bronze. So if you're listening to this, bronze, he wants you to come over with a pot of tea. He also says one final thing, for those of you who know him, he has a geo baby. Little Anna is 3 months old now, and she's already been out caching a number of times. Now, he gives me a website for a number of pictures and a blog, which is in Dutch, so if you can read Dutch, good luck, and I'll post that on the show notes. Thanks very much for the email. Now, don't forget, if you've got any feedback or you just want to say hi, send me an email to geotalk@mac.com. And please leave feedback on the iTunes website and also the link to Dig. I've included a link to Dig, so if you dig the podcast, click on Dig and help us get up the ladder and get us more well-known. In the next episode of GeoTalk, I speak to the Prez from the Prez and First Lady out in Western New South Wales. Take a look at GeoCoins. And I might finally get that damn cache, that pod cache, finished at Olympic Park, and we'll give it a preview. And to finish up on GeoTalk for this episode, some of you may have noticed through forums and other places on the internet that Garmin have created a music video. Now, the music video is actually part of an advert which will appear on Super Bowl Sunday, this coming Sunday in the United States, which is the big football game for those people in the US of A. And it's kind of a corny one, and it features an old 80s rocker, but I thought, just for a bit of fun, we'll finish up the podcast with this. So until next time, safe geocaching. There's a man fighting for us, a cast of mean members over us, and he's here to save the day. He'll stick his fingers in to that paper skin and rip him anew. Away. Oh, yeah! Evil Mephistopheles prepared to meet your doom. Our hero has the power. Gloves is your tomb. Where's the super latex? 20 minutes to the moon. Setting up the satellites with a slice of purple lead. Grab your gun and take on the world. Grab your gun and everybody go. GPS power speaks the truth. MP3 traffic alert patrol.
Japan.